This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on your hometown radio station in Madison and North Florida, WMAF. You're listening to WMAF as it streams by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world. We're so glad that you have tuned in today, and we pray the broadcast will be a blessing to you, will bring you instruction from the Word of God. I'm excited about this new year that we have before us, because it's almost like we're reminded that we have a brand new opportunity to fill the blank pages of these 365 days, now 300 and less than 365. We can fill those blank pages with the will and the purposes of God in our life, and significant things that in our families and toward our loved ones. We can do those things that is so easy to forget and neglect. It's not so much making resolutions. In fact, I made a resolution this year not to make any resolutions because I feel so bad when I break them. But I do want to do my best for the Lord this year. I want to be a better wife, father to my children, a better husband to my wife. I want to be a better pastor to my congregation. I just want to take more time to thank God for the sunrise and the sunset and the flowers and the beauty of His creation in the midst of all of the distractions and all of the discouragements of life. We can see the goodness of God around us if we just take time to look. So I want this to be a productive year and a beautiful year and a satisfying year when we come to the close of it, that God has been glorified and that we have found value in the small, simple, but so significant things of life. So we invite you to go on this journey with us this year to pursue the Lord, His will, His purpose, to pursue His Word, that we might walk in that path of righteousness. Praise God. Amen. Where the blessings of the Lord rest upon us. No matter what happens, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. Praise God. God wants you blessed, and He wants me blessed, and He wants to bless every person on this planet, beginning with salvation, and then a rich fellowship relationship with Himself. Praise God, with the full assurance of being ready for His coming, ready to live in the holy city forever, age without end. Having said all of that, we're getting ready to go to God's Word today. We're talking about a subject that is very close to my heart, because it is so vitally important that we get the foundation stones right when we build our life in the Lord. And this is one of the key elements in allowing God to work in us and through us, and to answer our prayers, and to see His glory, to be in a church service on Sunday morning where God shows up, and as one man put it, where God shows out. Praise God. When someone is saved, when someone is healed, when someone is delivered, when someone is set free, when someone takes the Word of God to heart, and it's life changing, then we know the Holy Spirit is free to manifest God's power and presence in our midst. And I think church without God is like a football game without a ball. It just doesn't work. And so we want to see ministries, ministers, churches, and beginning with the church that I pastor here in Tampa, we are so hungry to see God encounter people with His person, with His presence. It's life changing when that happens. And we want to see Holy Ghost conviction as the Word of God is preached. I'm not talking about that just makes people run from God. I'm talking about that brings people running to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to see those breakthroughs, those victories. And what we're talking about in this message is vitally important, because it's not faith is not the primary thing. It is so vitally important that we have faith toward God, but it is not the primary thing. Not even prayer, as powerful as prayer is. Neither faith nor prayer take precedence over this foundational stone in inviting God's presence into our life and having His Word have import and impact in our life. I'm talking about the fear factor. I'm talking about restoring reverence for the Most High. If we get this right, then our prayers will be in a position to pray in faith and have answered. If we get this right, the Word of God will bring forth fruit in our life, 30, 60, and 100-fold. If we get this right, we will hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the Bible said when we get hungry and thirsty for that is top shelf with God, to be right with Him, not just the righteousness that's achieved immediately through the blood when we come to Christ, but the righteousness which is ongoing, the practical, personal, not the positional, that allows God to manifest Himself to us because we are endeavoring to walk in His ways. Praise God. I'm telling you, there is blessing after blessing after blessing that follows giving the proper reverence for the Most High, because the Word of God will be given heed to. We will take it to heart, apply it to our life. Our worship will not just be hitting that high note in perfect harmony. It will be pouring out our heart toward the Lord in legitimate, acceptable praise and worship. And the Bible said when that happens, God inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. When it comes from the heart, God shows up and God shows out. And I am so hungry for the living God, as David said. So we're talking about this particular scripture to speak on the subject of restoring reverence for the Most High, the fear factor, something that I believe that most people will agree with me is not where it needs to be in terms of priority in the Christian church in America and around the world. But not only the Christian church, but also the non-Christian world has lost the fear of the Lord. And therefore, there is little or no pricking of the conscience. There's no conviction in the heart because of the sins that we commit daily against Him. And we need that restored so that God can bring us to Himself for safekeeping. These are the last and final days, and I don't say that just as a statement without the Bible to back it up and the current events every day to confirm what the Scripture said. So listen very carefully. I'm going to read from Proverbs 9 and verse 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Again, I want to tell you, one of the best definitions that I know concerning how we should view the fear of the Lord. And it is deep reverence with awe and affection. You might want to write that down if you've taken any notes. The deep reverence with awe and affection. We love the Lord with all of our heart. We desire His presence, but we are awed by the greatness of God, the holiness of God. You know, the Bible said He dwells in an unapproachable light. And according to Isaiah chapter 6, even angels that attend His direct presence in celestial bodies, the angels that have been created to minister in His direct, distinct presence, are created with three sets of wings. With two, the Bible said they cover their face. With two, they cover their feet. And with two, they did move about. So two sets of wings were created in these angels that are divulged unto us in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, and I saw the seraphims. And then he describes this kind of situation. Their face and their feet, and they were already robed, had to be covered from the presence of this holy God, literally thrice holy God. And the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy." Amen. Listen, friend, God is so powerful and so mighty and so pure and so holy that to approach His presence is an awesome thing. Amen. And yet, we as Christians have been invited to come before His throne, to come directly into His presence, spiritually speaking, and literally speak to Him in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, but mouth to mouth, face to face. Something more than the faith and courage and boldness in what the blood of Christ has accomplished for us is required. There is a reverence required. That's why when the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray," He said, when you pray, number one, acknowledge your relationship with Him now. This new covenant relationship that allows us to speak to Him paternally, "Our Father, which art in heaven." But the very next verse, before petition, before asking, before praising, before anything, is to give the reverence that is due Him, to deep reverence with awe and affection, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." We recognize Your holiness. We recognize Your purity. We sanctify Your name. We give deep reverence to the very fact that we can approach this holy, thrice holy God, that we can approach spiritually where angels dare to tread or fear to tread. Listen, this concept of God, this lofty view of God, needs to be restored to every Christian, to every church. You know, this is a holy Bible I'm reading from today, and I'm depending on the Holy Spirit. And our God is holy, holy, holy. And the Bible said that our bodies, when we become Christian, become the temple, the abiding place of God. Keep it holy. Amen. Everything concerning Him is to be sanctified and set apart. In fact, the New Testament said, "The Lord God sanctify you," you and me. Holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, spirit, soul, and body. And when we're sanctified wholly, completely, that means that we can live, H-O-L-Y, holy. You know, the Bible actually calls us a chosen generation, a holy nation. Cleansed, sanctified, cleansed, and set apart for His holy purposes. I'm not talking about absolute sinless perfection. I am talking about a standing with God that is separate from anyone or anything in this entire world. We are a privileged people, but we must reverence this God. I like the way the songwriter put it way back in the 60s when all the hippies and coffee house ministries were coming along, and we have the Jesus people and the Jesus movement. And I remember a song that was talking about, in those very practical terms of that day, reverencing God. And it said, and one of the lyrics was, "He may be your father, but He's not your old man." We should never approach a holy God with a carnal or casual attitude. God is holy. So when we begin, that doesn't mean we should draw back from Him, but we should give due reverence when we approach Him and the things of God and the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. If we will reverence His presence, God will manifest His presence. I can't stand the thought of going to church and having to have everything so perfectly programmed that it goes off without a hitch, whether God shows up or not, and being satisfied with that. I can't imagine singing the song in the choir perfectly, hitting that high note, nobody's voice crackling, in perfect harmony, and yet not having a sense of His presence as we praise Him. For the Bible said when we get our praise right with the due honor and praise and is coming from the heart and reverencing God, the Bible said that He inhabits the praises of His people. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said where two or more of us gather together in His name, there am I in the midst of them. Friend, it's got to make a difference when God is present and when He manifests His presence or makes it known. When you encounter I'm not talking about some kind of emotional feeling. I'm talking about a sense of the divine, a sense of the holy. Encountering the presence of God is life changing. You know, the Bible said in His presence there's fullness of joy. And the Scripture speaks about that experience of His presence. In the New Testament, it says, whom having not seen you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This has to involve more than an intellectual concept of God. This has to be an experience of the presence of God. I know emotionalism can lead us into some things that would discredit the gospel. I do not believe in emotionalism for the sake of emotion, but I believe in for the emotion that expresses the joy of His presence. You know, the Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness, and gladness is an emotion. It's an attitude and atmosphere of the heart. And the Bible said, serve the Lord with gladness, all ye lands. You know, we have to become more than those cardboard figures sitting in the audience, just not experiencing God and not expressing from the heart the joy of the Lord in our life. If the world could see the church experiencing God, expressing that kind of joy, whom having not seen you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wouldn't it be a boring football game if you went and there's thousands of people in the stands and your team in overtime kicks a field goal to win the game and everyone is sitting there stoic, not saying a word, not speaking a word, not clapping their hands, not shouting with glee? Wouldn't that be a boring game? I mean, why even go if you're not going to get involved? And when the victory comes, to begin to express joy in that victory. what kind of a fan would you be to pay all that money to get in, all that money to park, brave the cold if you're in the cold country, which happens right here in Florida sometimes. Listen, amen, when that team kicks that field goal in overtime to win the game and it's your team and you rise up and holler, no one's going to look at you and charge you with emotionalism, because there's a time to do that and there's a place to do it, and you're not out of order. You'd be you'd look strange if you sat there with that 1,000-yard stare that a lot of Christians have on Sunday morning, even during the worship, even during the high points of the preaching of the gospel, when we are beginning to glimpse the glory of that awaits us and the glory of what it means just to be saved. It all begins with understanding, appreciating, appropriating the deep reverence with awe and affection for God. That's the best definition that I know of the fear of the Lord. It is the beginning of wisdom, but it doesn't stop with just giving us the proper wisdom we need. It allows us to come into the presence of God, to approach His presence, praise God, with great boldness. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And then as we reverence Him, there's a yieldedness to Him, a surrender. Because He's our God, our mighty God, our Savior, yes, our Father, yes, but also our God. and the great God of heaven and that created heaven and earth and all that in them is. And we approach His presence then and say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's a surrender to His will, a desire for His will. You want prayers to get answered? Start surrendering to His will, not twisting His arm, amen, like a spoiled child trying to get their parents to give them what they don't really need or their parents really know isn't best for them. We come to God, not as a spoiled child trying to get our way. We come to God, amen, as someone who so appreciates being saved, so appreciates being able to call Him Abba Father, that so appreciates that He invites us to approach Him and speak to Him face to face, spiritually speaking, Our Father which art in heaven. Ah, hallowed be Thy name. And then I'm in a state of surrender, deep reverence before Him. I would not dare try to overrule, override His will to establish my own will and get Him to grant it to me. Not in that state of standing in awe and giving reverence to Him. I'm bowing before Him and saying, Your kingdom come, Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then I'm in a position to start making petition before Him. Then give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not. I'm able to start telling Him about what I need in my life. And I'm looking to Him as my source. But above all, I want Him to do it His way, His timing. And if what I'm requesting is not proper, go ahead and override that and give me what You know I need, not what I think I need. I pray a lot of prayers that what I think I need, but God always answers according to what He knows I need. And there was a television program back in the early days of TV. Some of you remember it. Father Knows Best. Well, that television daddy didn't even always know best. And besides, it was a program written in such a way that real life isn't like what they wrote about. The family isn't like that today. We've got families in deep problems and trouble, and it doesn't work like the Waltons or Father Knows Best anymore. But God is still the same. God is God, and Father knows best. We need that deep reverence for Him. Because as we said last week, if we surrender the fear of the Lord and become irreverent and reckless like the culture and the world about us, we will, even as Christians, we will begin to fall away. We will begin to fall away when we no longer see Him as awesomely holy, marvelously majestic, a thrice holy God. We stop thinking correctly about God. We stop honoring Him with our lives. It's that simple. When we stop thinking correctly about God, we will stop honoring Him with our lives. Jeremiah 2:19, we read it to close last week. I want to go back to it. I don't want to go too quickly through this because I want us to get every principle deep down in our hearts. If we get this right, everything else is going to start falling into place. If we get the kingdom first because we reverence the King, hallelujah, all these things are going to be added to us according to His will, His eternal purpose. But believe me, He's going to take care of us. David said, I've never seen the right. I'm young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen His seed begging for bread. No matter what happens, God will make a way. God will supply, not just because of our great faith alone, but because of our deep reverence with awe and affection. Jeremiah 2:19 says, Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. They began to fall away the day that they began to lose this deep reverence for God. The Amplified said, "Your own wickedness shall chasten and correct you. Your backslidings and desertion of faith shall reprove you. Know therefore and recognize that this is an evil and bitter thing. First, you have forsaken the Lord your God. Second, you are indifferent to me, and the fear of me is not in you, saith the Lord of hosts." This is a tragic, dangerous condition. Without the fear of the Lord, His word is without influence. His warnings go unheeded. His worship is neglected, and worse, it's feigned or put on. We become proud, self-willed, and disobedient to the Lord. And when that occurs in the Christian life, we are in a state of backsliding. We are falling away. And the Bible said in the last days, the manifestation of the Antichrist, before he can be made manifest, something is going to precede that. It is a sign, not in the world, not in the weather, but in the church. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Then that son of perdition, then the Antichrist, will be made manifest. He will come on the scene, but that day will not come until there come a falling away first. And what is allowing this falling away? When we're losing the fear of the Lord. People are not afraid today to take from and add to the Word of God. People are not afraid today to take the parts of the Bible that line up and fall in line with what is socially acceptable and politically correct, rather than taking it as it truly is, the Word of our God. Oh, you got to go counterculture to follow the teachings of Jesus. You can't just blend. You become a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. That means you're not, you have a witness that can have an effect, but you also become a target for persecution. But you know what the Bible said? When we are persecuted for His name's sake and righteousness' sake, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad. Amen. If you were of the world, the world would love his own, but you're not of the world. Hallelujah. I don't want Twilight Zone music to go off with, but friend, if you're a Christian today, your identification is in heaven, not this earth. Praise God. We're in the world, but we are a separate culture. Make no mistake about it. We're not of the world. Listen, friend, if you've been listening to this broadcast and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know that judgment will come. It won't come because God is frustrated. It won't come because His patience is worn thin. It will come because there comes a time when justice must be adjudicated. And there will come a time when those that have rejected light will experience the judgment, the wrath of God. It's called the Great Tribulation, and then the final consignment of lost souls with the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet to be banished from the presence of God forever and punished. Listen, friend, today I can't stand to think of anybody not being saved. Would you come today to Jesus Christ? Would you yield your heart and your life to Him? Would you have the wisdom that comes from fearing the Lord? Would you turn from your sin and turn to Christ today? Would you let Him seal you, save you, sanctify you, and keep you in these last closing hours? Make you ready for His coming. Take away the fear of the wrath to come, because you know you belong to Him. And He's your God, and He's your Heavenly Father. And if you're a Christian today, would you begin to reverence God like you've never reverenced God? When the Bible is opened, would you give deep reverence to the God who's speaking to you through His Word? When you attend church and you sing, would you not just sing for the people? Would you sing to the Lord? When you pray, would you say, "Hallowed be thy great name. I bow in full surrender before you as I approach your throne. I believe God is going to show up. I believe God is going to show out. Well, we love you. Come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus.